The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
This is an elite strike force team that is working on behalf of the president and the campaign to make sure that our Constitution is protected. The circus has only been from one side.
Single flips, just like you.
Each morning on TV, I lie a little. That way the boss knows what to tweet. Judge just look at the proof or I'll cry. Trump, what you doing to me? He spent all these years straight deceiving you. But we just don't want Trump to leave. So somebody, find me some fraudulent votes.
Well, he was only the underdog if you believe the mainstream media suppression polls.
We grift hard every day. I lie, but every judge has shut me down. They say this case is crazy. We got only Newsmax to believe.
The human heart is corrupt. They're patriots. There's fraud in every election.
Some fraudulent votes. Find me some fraudulent.
Drunk chick again.
What about the turnout rate? 120%.
Big stack of evidence. It's all right here.
I think all Chinese look alike. So how would you tell?
Casual racism. It's fine. Please don't fire me.
Welcome to the show. We started today with a little song because, well, we're going to be speaking with Greg Palast in just a moment. Find me some fraudulent votes. Her name is Heather Gardner, and that was produced by our friends at the Midas Touch. There are no fraudulent votes. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Let's bring in Greg Palast and find out. Hello, Greg Palast. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole Sandler. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you here. So you've had a busy day so far, and it's pretty early out there where you are. You're out in California, yes?
Yes.
But today you were on a Zoom hearing in Atlanta.
What? Yes, I was a witness in federal court. What happened is that back in September, the ACLU issued a report of mine. From the experts from my investigative fund, the Palast Investigative Fund. And we had gone through the list of people that the state of Georgia had removed, that is purged from the voter rolls, just wiped off their voting rights, saying that they had moved. Well, hey, Nicole, they if you don't move. Live in Atlanta, you better not vote there. It's against the law. If you, if you're not a Georgian, don't think about voting in Georgia. I agree with that. We don't want fraudulent voters, right?
Right.
But we went through the list.
Yeah.
And what we found, my experts, we checked with the post office. Basically, we found that 198,351 voters, we know exactly, we went name by name, and we found that nearly 200,000 people were wrongly removed due to errors, ridiculous errors in their system. Which obviously they were pretty happy about, because our analysis tends to show that these purge lists are overwhelmingly Black, young, yeah. Hispanic, Asian American voters of color, you know, the color blue.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so I testified today in court. I don't want to, because it's a federal court hearing, I don't want to go too many details because some of that is, you know, under court review.
Sure.
But I can tell you about that ACLU report. And the suit today was brought by Black Voters Matter, by Operation Rainbow Push and the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Okay.
By by other frontline groups, including the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. If you know SV Rep, they're like the most active grassroots frontline Hispanic organization. Very concerned.
Okay, so Greg Palast, I'm confused. Bear with me for a moment here, because the White House is screaming at the governor of Georgia and the Georgia Secretary of State, saying that nothing about, you know, voters being purged from the rolls, but the Dominion voting machines flipping votes from Trump to Biden. Also, they're alleging what people were running ballots through, like stacks of ballots three times, that, you know, for Biden. But they didn't say anything about voters being purged. So are you telling me that this something else happened in Georgia that was not what Trump is saying? I'm being a little facetious here.
Our president gets it wrong. I know it shocks you.
Right.
But what I should also say is Democrats get it wrong.
Yes,
too.
They do.
Let's not drop this one, because if right now there's a great column in The Washington Post that just came out a couple hours ago, in which they cited my work in Georgia and said, look, the Democrats are missing the boat, because on one hand, they're saying Trump is wrong about vote fraud, but you can't then say the elections are wonderful,
right?
Because if you're purging voters, if there's massive vote suppression, then you've got a problem. So the Washington, I got to give big ups to the Washington Post for saying, yeah, guys, you can't just say the elections are perfect just because Trump is wrong about voter fraud. They're still trying to fix the elections. And in fact,
there are other problems.
The Washington Post pointed out, you know, some Democrats are actually praising Brian Kemp. You
right.
Know, the nemesis of Stacey Abrams.
Right. And remember, only reason Brian Kemp is governor is because of the shenanigans he pulled to. Oops. Uh-oh. We lost Greg Palast. Ah! All right. He'll be back in a second, I'm sure. Hopefully Greg will come back in our room. We lost him for a moment. We're doing the thing on Zoom. And he looked like he leaned in to do something and then he disappeared. So hopefully there's nothing I can do. He's got to come back in the room. So hopefully Greg will rejoin us. But Brian Kemp was the Secretary of State. He's back. Was the Secretary of State in Georgia, who basically fixed the election to make himself win over Stacey Abrams, or she'd be sitting in the governor's chair in Georgia right now, right?
Well, I mean, what he did was, Brian Kemp, he was Secretary of State.
Right.
While he's Secretary of State, he's running
the election
for governor.
Yes.
Now, even the Wall Street Journal said that was unethical. That is, he started removing voters at that time, about 300,000 voters. And in my ACLU report, on the cover is one of the voters he removed. You'll see this older woman. She was 92 at the time. She'd been voting the same voting station for 50 years.
Wow.
They said she'd moved from Atlanta. But I went with her to Atlanta, the Atlanta house she said she moved from. There on the wall is a picture of Martin Luther King. I said, you knew Dr. King? She said, yeah, he's my cousin. The picture of Sarah having dinner with King.
Wow.
At that house,
which it wasn't just a stock photo of King. It was a personal photo of King.
Years.
Wow. Wow.
So that's the problem.
So there are still problems like this. The problems that Greg Palast, you've been investigating for years. We've been talking about for years. The fact is, though, this year's election, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was a bit less horrible than it's been in prior years, and maybe that is because so many of us voted on paper ballots, so there were records. Or do I have it wrong?
Well, I just, you know, I've said it again and again and again. They can't steal all the votes all the time. You know, I wrote that book, How Trump Stole 2020. I said it's a warning, it's not a prediction, and it came close. I mean, one of the problems is while Joe Biden won, they're bitching that they said, oh, Biden didn't really win, when the Democrats are saying, well, he won by 12,000 votes. No, he didn't. He won by about 112,000 votes.
Right.
You have to understand, they removed his voters.
That's right.
You had, by the way, about 100,000 plus votes, mail-in ballots, you know, which are mostly Democrats. that were excluded because they arrived late. I had one guy who mailed in his ballot 10 days before the election in Georgia, and it didn't get counted as late. People had their mail-in ballots challenged. You had provisional ballots about in Gwinnett County, which is part of Atlanta and Atlanta suburbs, about 40% of provisional ballots. So people showed up. They had been removed from the voter rolls, or they didn't like their ID in Georgia. And they so they had to get these provisional ballots. They thought they voted, but it's a placebo ballot. You think you voted, but you didn't. They knocked out about 40%. Not all of them, but they knocked out 40%. And we know that those are mostly Democrats.
Right. And that's their modus operandi. That's what they do. And that's what they've been doing. And
I'm having a little trouble hearing. Some
And on our side, you know, we have been. Can you hear me OK now? Not hearing me.
No,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Really? That, oh, my. That's weird. That's a problem. All right. Well, I'll try to figure it out. Although, if you're not hearing me, then that's not good. I think I can fix it. Give me one moment. There's one. Okay. If I can figure out where I need to go on this thing. Well, Greg Palast, I'm sorry. If you can't hear me, we'll have to do it another time. But thank you. Good luck. Do we know when we'll get a decision from this court case?
Soon. I'm desperately, we're, you know, obviously the judge will rule before the election. This is on an injunction.
Is this any better now? Is this any better? I made an adjustment. You still don't hear me well? Oh my God. Okay. We should have checked it before. Okay. I'm sorry about that. Greg Palast, well, thank you for joining us today. Sorry for the screwed up sound, but thank you for staying on the case and fighting for our votes.
I'll give you an update as we go, because obviously we're not done with Georgia. So go to gregpalast.com and read the stories from the Washington Post and from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about this case. Get the report that we did for the ACLU. And for gosh sakes, if you know anyone in Georgia, tell them to vote.
Yes.
I don't care what party. Just tell them to vote.
Vote. And it's that important.
And by the way, a lot of people don't realize that there's two candidates they can vote for. And one final bit of advice. Hey, don't wait till January 5. What, you got something better to do? Start voting Monday, December 14. We got 3 weeks. That's a good window. Bring your mask, your some gloves, some sanitizer, a bottle of water, and two lawyers, because you're dealing with Georgia law.
Yeah, I gotcha. Greg Palast, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon, and we'll make sure you can hear me. Thanks. Bye. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I honestly do not know what happened, because it works. It worked yesterday. It works all the time. But so it goes. All right. It is Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. We've got a lot to talk with Howie about. But this stuff that's going on, you know, Greg Palast has been on this case for a long, long time. And now there was a lawsuit in this court case in Atlanta today that he testified in. Obviously, I'm sure it was a Zoom hearing. And we won't know the outcome for a while. But see, this stuff is still going on. You know, the Republicans for decades, you know, the old what's his name? The good government guy. I'm drawing blanks today. Paul Weyrich. You remember Paul Weyrich. You know, this guy.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
That was from 1980. Republicans may be a lot of things, but they do play the long game. They plan years in advance, unlike the Democrats, who seem to just, you know, start cluelessly every year. Yeah. I can criticize now. They're back, well, sort of back in power, or will be shortly, if Trump is not successful in his coup. We are in the strangest time in American history right now. I just don't know. I want to get past the next 41 days. Is that what it is? I got my counter. 40 days, 19 hours and 2 seconds, or something like that. So, you know, the Republicans are still trying to keep people from voting. And if some Republicans get caught up in their purge, I don't think they really care. They just want to keep as many Democrats from voting as they possibly can. But you'll notice that's not getting any play in the press. Again, because this year, I think the incidences were less. I think most people voted early. They voted by mail. And therefore, it wasn't as crazy on election day. People waited in lines in early voting, not so much on election day. So some of the problems that we have every 4 years didn't crop up this year. But those problems inherent in the system, the voter purging, the purging of the voter rolls, which Georgia has been doing for a long time, was still happening. Just we're not as whiny as they are. I mean, nobody is as whiny as Donald Trump. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. It's, you know, there's so many things I could talk about right now, and I'm not quite sure which way to go, because it seems like everything is like falling in. Trump is pulling all kinds of shenanigans in D.C. in a couple of different portions of the government. He's issuing these executive orders, changing the order of succession. Right? It's weird. So like, and I don't know if I can, let's say all this stuff just happened as I was in the last few minutes. But in addition to this brief, this case from Texas, where now 106 House Republicans have signed on to an amicus brief saying in support of Texas's bid to overturn Joe Biden's win in four other states in the Supreme Court, 106 Republican House members. You know, I talk about opposite world all the time, but this is even worse than opposite world. This is frightening, the fact that they're doing this. And from what I understand from lawyers, people who actually know this stuff, this case that they're bringing in Texas is nonsense. It's complete and utter.
To be honest.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. It's complete and utter bullshit. I'm on the wrong page. I see. This is what that was supposed to be.
Bullshit.
There you go. Anyway, other things happening. Before I get off, I don't want to get off of the government thing first. Trump is doing, and why can't I find this? The Arizona Republican Party is now tweeting out things where a guy said, "Are you willing to die for this election, to get Trump, to have Trump steal this election?" I mean, the crazy has gone off the charts. Racist death threats on Michigan state reps' phones, violent threats towards Georgia officials, Republican Georgia officials, Brian Kemp and the Secretary of State, who's Rappensperger or whatever. They're getting threats because they're not willing to throw the election to overturn the will of the people. I can't believe I'm saying these words. I can't believe this is happening in the United States of America, but it is. What's his name? Rush Limbaugh is talking about seceding from the union. Seriously. This is amazing. A Southpaw, who is an attorney, on Twitter wrote, "A majority of the Republican members in the House and Republican attorney generals in about one third of the states, including my state, Florida, are sending the Supreme Court a giant political signal that they'd like the election overturned. There's no merit whatsoever to their legal arguments." Again, at NYC Southpaw, doesn't tell us his name, but we do know that he's a lawyer. And probably a pretty good one at that. He continues. He said, "The only thing that's potent about their filings is who signs them. But in the process, the Republican coup plotters may be doing more than making a show of force to the justices. They may be discovering their numbers for themselves." That's frightening, too. Someone else suggested, I believe it was Ari Berman, that the House not seat those 106 members who are trying to take a duly elected president of the United States and keep him from being inaugurated. There's heavy duty shit going on. And Trump was tweeting, "Big stuff is coming down," like threats. He's threatening the stability of our union, and that is scary shit. I'll tell you, one thing I'm really surprised about is that he hasn't been whining in previous days that tonight, Time Magazine announces their person of the year. I say this every year. Every year, let me say it again. Person of the year, Time Magazine's person of the year, is not an award that one aspires to. It's not celebrating that somebody did something great. I believe Adolf Hitler was named Time's Man of the Year back then, when it was still Man of the Year. Now it's more politically correct, Person of the Year. And it's not always a person. Sometimes it's an entity. Sometimes it's a few people. There are those saying it could be Donald Trump. It could be Joe Biden. It could be, I'm trying to remember what the other things I saw floating were. But the one that I think it should be, and none of the ones that allegedly are the four finalists, are what I think, because I think it should be COVID-19. That's an entity. It's got to be a person. Then the healthcare professionals on the front lines fighting the coronavirus, because this year, as fucked up as Donald Trump has been, and he is, make no mistake about that, this pandemic, this coronavirus, COVID-19, has changed everything. And the criteria for Time's person of the year is the person or the entity that most changed the course of the news in that year. I don't see how it could be anything but something to do with the virus. It's got to be. Anyway, it's something that doesn't matter, really. You know, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Few other things. Speaking of the virus, I have to play this for you because it's so just a sign of the times. You hear, Rudy Giuliani, who got out of the hospital today, called into WABC radio in New York. The New York Times had a story today and quoted a section of the interview where he said that, you know, basically he got that experimental drug, the same cocktail that Donald Trump got. And he said the next morning he felt 10 years younger and he's fine and he got out today. And then he said something to the effect of, I don't have the quote in front of me, but something to the effect of, I can get it because I'm a celebrity. If I wasn't me, they wouldn't have even admitted me to the hospital. But because I'm who I am, I was not only admitted and I was given this experimental drug that none of you little people have access to. He said that because I'm a celebrity. I went to find that quote in the New York Times article. From the New York Times article in the actual recording of the interview at WABC.com at their radio, WABCradio.com, I believe is their website. And I listened. I sat there and listened to these two idiots they have on in the morning and Rudy Giuliani sucking each other off for 15 minutes. And that quote from the New York Times was not there. They edited it out. And I've edited enough audio tape that that I know an edit when I hear it. So I tried calling there. I asked for what's their names, Sid and somebody in the morning, their producer. They're all gone for the day. This was like at noon. Must be nice. But they went and edited it out. And I'm sorry, that is just heinous. The New York Times woman named, the reporter named Cheryl Gay Stolberg wrote the article. So I sent her a note to ask her if she has a copy of the original recording that she quoted in the article because it's been edited out of what they posted online. This is how they roll. Everything they do is a lie. They saw that this got attention, that it was a really stupid thing Rudy said. Well, you know, it's a day ending, and why Rudy said something stupid. Go figure. But now they can say, where's that quote? We don't hear it. Greg Sargent also wrote about this today in the Washington Post. And I emailed him. I said, do you have that? He said, no, I got the quote from the New York Times. And when I told him it's not there, he said, is there an empty spot where it should be? I said, no, it's a clean edit. I can edit audio. I can make you say anything. Video's a little trickier. Audio is really easy to edit. And that's what they did. So I'm waiting to hear back. I left a message. I tweeted at WABC 77 WABC Radio is, I think, their Twitter handle. Nobody has answered me. Not one person. But you see, lying is what they do. That's what they do on their side. So, yeah, lucky us, right? Let's see. You know, if you were listening at the beginning of the show, you heard I used that old Art Bell intro. I'm going to get a copyright notice, not a violation. They won't take me off the air again. But every time I play that, any advertising revenue I get during the show on YouTube, not that I get much, goes to whoever claims the content. And Giorgio Moroder or somebody did the music for this Art Bell thing. So whenever I play that, they claim any revenue. But today, the reason I played that open, this one at the beginning of the show, in case you didn't hear it, may as well get my money's worth out of it, right?
Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades in the intellectual wilderness of South Florida, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow.
Okay, so, right.
This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yeah, so I used to use that as an intro for a long time until I finally got sick of whoever taking any measly couple of dollars revenue I might have made. But I played it today because Howie Klein has a story to tell us. And I don't know if you heard it, but earlier this week, there was a story here. I'm reading to you from NBCnews.com. So this isn't like a National Enquirer thing. The headline reads, former Israeli space security chief says extraterrestrials exist and Trump knows about it. The subtitle says the Galactic Federation has been waiting for humans to, quote, reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are, Haim Ashed said. Okay. And apparently they're saying that that this is known to exist. Aliens are equally curious about humanity, and we're seeking to understand the fabric of the universe. But it says there's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. They signed a contract with us to do experiments here. And that Donald Trump was aware of their existence and had been on the verge of revealing information, but was asked not to, to prevent, quote, mass hysteria. Yeah. Howie knows something about this. So that's why I went there. All right. You know what? Let's take a very, very quick time out and come back on the other side with Howie Klein and get his alien story next. So let's see. Did that even take? Did it take? No. All right. So Progressive Voices didn't go to spots. Then I'm not going to go to a break. This is not working as it's supposed to. I'll tell you what. Let's do one more tune because we can. Right. And this woman is Jennifer Houston. Is her name. I've learned it since I didn't get it last time. And she works with the Now This News people. She did that great Cyndi Lauper Time After Time parody. Well, she's got another one, and she's singing to Donald Trump. Howie Klein's next. Don't go away. Here we go.
Suing and lying and whining and pouting, complaining and scheming, each tweet filled with fears, won't get you another for years. So if you're looking for the exit plan you need, all you gotta do is suck it up and pick up the phone and finally concede. We'll tell your strike force guess it's time to abort, as all your silly lawsuits get laughed out of court. Even on Fox News, they'll have to report that you'll never get it. Thinking and praying, wishing and hoping, cause claiming and hoping and tweeting and pouting, cheating and scheming won't make it not true. America doesn't want you. So if you like to leave without this egg on your face, all you gotta do is buckle up and suck it up and be a man and call him up. Yeah, do it. And after you do, we can end this race. You know what to do, it's not confusing. With every single recount you keep on losing. Rudy Giuliani keeps on losing. But you'll never get it. Lying and tweeting, moaning and golfing, cause wishing and hoping and thinking and praying and cursing and yelling and firing your staff won't end this terrible gaffe. So if you'd like to leave with a shred of dignity, all you gotta do is suck it up and pick it up and dial it up and tell him, yeah, do it. And after you do, he will be free. We'll all breathe easy when you can see.
And we were getting
for a treat. Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Nicole Sandler.
How are you doing today?
Doing great, thanks. In fact, I'm just—I was just thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a big fan of nutritional yeast.
I am. I never knew about nutritional yeast until about 6 months ago. But yes, it's good stuff.
So it's wonderful raw. I mean, just eating it like in salads and stuff like that. But do you bake with it as well?
I haven't, but I haven't done a lot of baking. I mean, one of the things that I'm hoping will happen from our new healthy eating lifestyle is both of us, David and I, could both lose a few pounds. The thing is, when we went vegan, I'm a carb addict, so we both gained weight. And so now we're trying to cut down on the carbs and up on the vegetables, so I'm not doing a whole lot of baking. But what do you put it in?
Well, what I'm doing right now, the reason that I'm bothering your audience with this, is I'm about to bake a bunch of vegetables that I'm going to use as a bed for some halibut that I'm making tonight.
Oh, ooh, that sounds good.
But first I'm baking the vegetables, and I was thinking about putting some nutritional yeast on them. But,
why not?
But you don't know if that would work or not.
I don't know. I do know. Look, I don't, you know, people recommend it on popcorn, and somebody in the chat room just said it's great in popcorn. I don't like it on popcorn. I like my popcorn salty, and the nutritional yeast didn't do it. But, I mean, I use it in making so many things, mostly those vegan cheeses. And by the way, I put up a few more recipes, finally, on my website. And Howie, I meant to send them to you. And I get spaced out. I forget things. I start doing something and then I get distracted from that. And I, you know, inevitably forget about the first thing. And then I forget about the first thing I was going to do. So I didn't send you the recipes, but I put up recipes for that vegan, that Thai pizza, for lack of a better description. That's up on the site, which you need to try because it's so good. I put my recipe for hummus and Brussels sprouts on there, too, and they're both really good.
Oh, good. Well, it would be hard to do anything wrong with Brussels sprouts. They're just so wonderful.
Yeah, but to me, they need something just because it's like cabbage. They can be a bit bitter. But this is a recipe with balsamic vinegar and maple syrup, and you make a reduction, and it's so good. Oh, it's so good. So anyway, I'll send you the. You can get it at NicoleSandler.com/vegan-or-not.
One of the ways that we use Brussels sprouts a lot is I steam them, and then I, you know, hours before dinner, I'll steam them, and then I'll let them cool off, and then I will dress them with this amazing balsamic vinegar, the best balsamic vinegar in the entire world, and some really good olive oil.
Oh, yeah, see, that's good. Yeah, that's good right there. But you need to try the pizza that I have that recipe for. So anyway, cooking with Howie and Nicole on Thursdays here. Other stuff is going on. So I want to ask you, because you had said this was going to happen, and it did indeed happen. Pramila Jayapal is now the lone chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Yes? That's a good thing.
Yes, and that's a good thing. Yes, they had their elections the other day. And, you know, I don't know if it was unanimous. I think it was. She was elected chair. So she had been co-chair with Mark Pocan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know this. I'm sure Pramila would never say this. But I kind of always felt that he was holding her back a little bit. And now that she's going to be doing it on her own, I feel much better about it. I feel really good about it, in fact.
Yeah, and already I was seeing some stuff today, like tweets from her office about things that, you know, she wants to whip them into shape. Now, you know, this is what's killing me. The Democrats, this whole negotiation, if that's what it is, over, and I hate to call it stimulus, because it's not stimulus money. It's survival money. People need help right now. Right? And
that's stimulating too.
What's that?
Surviving is stimulating.
Well, yes, it is. That's true. But it's not meant to stimulate the economy, although it would. That's not the reason behind these individual checks to people that Bernie Sanders is fighting for, and I know Pramila is as well. And that seems to be
one of the and a Republican, Josh Hawley from Missouri, a conservative Republican. He says he won't vote for anything unless it includes at least a $1,200 check. Although he's saying $1,200. See, the problem with this is that $1,200 isn't enough.
No.
And the Democrats did what they always do. Instead of coming in and asking for what is really needed, like $2,500, they negotiated with themselves and made it $1,200. And then, of course, the Republicans came in and immediately cut it right in half. So they're offering $600.
Right.
If the Democrats would have gone with what they know is needed, $2,500, then the Republicans probably would have cut that in half, and it would be $1,200, and everybody would be happy.
Right,
except
right.
Except people who are asked to exist on $1,200.
It's ridiculous. And this is a one-time $1,200 thing. What Bernie and others have been saying is we should get $2,000 a month per person until we can get back to work again. It's insane. And, you know, and they were talking about, well, we'll put in, you know, unemployment benefits, but instead of $600 a week, it'll be $300 because there's that halfsies thing, Howie, that they like to do. And then they're trying to say, well, we'll just give you the unemployment stuff instead of the checks. Well, that doesn't help people like me who are self-employed. I can't get unemployment, allegedly. Sole proprietors and contractors were supposed to be able to take advantage of those programs, but not here in Florida.
And what are you doing about children? And what are you doing about the elderly who can't work? I mean, these seem to be, to me, that these are the most needy people of all.
Yep.
And they're just left out.
Yeah. And I'm just seeing right here a clip just crossed my desktop. Senator Hawley of Missouri says he will unveil a standalone direct payment bill that would give $1,200 checks to individuals and $2,400 to couples.
Right. That's actually what he's doing is he just took the CARES Act that was passed in March and just he changed not one word. It's exactly it.
Wow.
And he did already unveil it.
It's out
and it's available. You can get it on his website. I have it going up on my blog this evening. So if you want to read word for word, but literally it is exactly what Pelosi got passed in March. Not a single word or comma changed. Everything exactly the same.
But
Hawley is doing the right thing there. I mean, he's not a good Republican. He's very, very, very right wing. But, he kind of realizes that the people in Missouri, his constituents, would kind of like to live.
Right. Well, go figure. Who would have ever thought about that? And at least he's not denying that we're in the midst of a crisis. This is bad stuff, bad juju that's happening here. So Howie Klein, since we spoke last week, Joe Biden has named some more people to his cabinet or named nominees that hopefully he'll be able to get in. One of those is
not.
I'm sorry. Or not. Right.
I mean, I'm actually literally counting on Republicans to stop some of them.
Some of them. Right. Which, aside from Neera Tanden, who else do you want to stop?
Neera Tanden would be a really good place to start. And that is the one that Republicans say they will stop.
Good. Let them. They can have her.
There are some that aren't any good. Does that mean that they're better than Trump people? Yes, but is that what we're going to do for the rest of our lives?
Yeah.
To say, well, you know, at least they're better than the worst thing that ever came along on the
right.
planet Earth?
No.
It's not a surprise that Joe Biden, who is, the single most conservative Democrat in the Senate for most of his career, certainly in the 80s and 90s.
Okay, because not recently, because you got Joe Manchin and people like that who were certainly more, Republican than Joe Biden.
No.
No? Okay.
Exactly the same.
Okay.
He and Joe Manchin, no difference.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Kyrsten Sinema would be to the right of Joe Biden, but she's insane. And I can't think of another Democrat who would be further right than Joe Biden has been. And people don't seem to realize that. The Republicans have cried wolf so many times that people don't believe any of this stuff. But, they're calling, they're calling some of his, very kind of moderate nominees to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Everyone is suddenly to the left of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, well, then they're the same people who say that Joe Biden is a socialist. And we said this a year ago, that if Biden is the nominee, they're going to call him socialist. What else is new? This is what they do. But what I want to ask you is, with the margins in the Senate and now the House being so close, I mean, the Democrats lost a lot of seats in the House. And so it's not a big, they hope to increase their margin. Well, now it's shrunk so that they may only have a cushion of like 5 or 6 votes when all is said and done. Yet Joe Biden picked 2 House Democrats to put in his administration. One is Cedric Richmond, really? And the other, Marcia Fudge. I'm not a fan of Cedric Richmond. He'll have to be replaced in New Orleans, which will go to a Democrat. But it's how long is that seat going to be vacant before a special election is called? Then the other one, Marcia Fudge in Ohio, goes to HUD. A lot of people are asking why. And the other is, again, a blue seat, but how long is that seat going to be open? And that precludes anybody else who's really good, like Deb Haaland. I think he already picked someone for Interior, but she was floated as a good candidate for Interior. But he can't pull anybody else out of the House, can he? Or should he?
No, not really.
No.
These people are in blue districts. So
right.
There's not like a problem that, some Republican could win one of these seats. So
right.
That's not going to happen.
But how long is the seat going to be open?
Before we get into that, you touched on something and then you jumped right off
okay.
it, which is the margins in the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
And we saw an example of that yesterday where even though, the Democrats were able to get a Republican to vote with them against sending drones to the United Arab Emirates. Trump wants to sell them drones, and the Democrats want to stop that. And they were able to get a Republican on board. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, you get two Democrats, so-called Democrats,
yeah.
Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly, two of the most Republican-oriented Democrats in the Senate. They both voted, they crossed the aisle and they voted with the Republicans, and boom, UAE is getting their
unbelievable,
drones.
Unbelievable. And now something he did something today with Morocco. Do you know what that's about?
Yeah, it's what he's been doing all along. He's been making these promises to these, not really countries that have ever been at war with Israel, but, you know, countries that don't have normal relations with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Morocco is very, very far from Israel, and there's not a real war between those two countries.
Right.
And, but Trump, wants to be the great peacemaker for Israel. And he's decided that he will recognize Morocco's claim to Saharan Africa.
Oh, my God.
Which claims independence, and which every American president has gone along with that independence claim, both Democrats and Republicans. And there are a lot of countries that are going to be very bent out of shape over this now, especially African countries that recognize the independence. But Morocco wants to make a kind of a power grab. Now, not the last time I was in Morocco, but one of the recent times I was in Morocco, we drove down to Sidi Ifni, which is really, really far down the coast of Morocco. Although it's not true anymore, I found out this week, when we went, the thing that was great about it is that it was there was only a dirt road, so it was very, very difficult to get to.
Mm-hmm.
When we got there, I mean, every person in town wanted to meet us. I left a Throwing Muses tape with these people, and we were sure that Throwing Muses is probably the biggest band in the city, Ifni.
Okay,
that's kind of near the Sahara area, the Western Sahara,
right?
That Morocco has had a claim to, and for the 20 times I've been to Morocco, I've never met anybody who's even been down as far as Sidi Ifni, let alone Western Sahara. So it's a specious claim to begin with. And the idea, and Trump, I'm sure, has no idea one way or the other of what it means, or that there's an indigenous population and that they want their independence. They have nothing to do with Morocco. It was a Spanish colony,
mm-hmm.
for a really long time, and when the Spanish left, the Moroccans marched in, and the people there have been fighting for their freedom ever since.
Okay.
But there, in walks Donald Trump with no idea what's going on and no reason one way or the other, except, he's going to help Israel.
It's amazing. Absolutely
amazing.
And what
helps it to Israel? I'd like to know how this is helpful to Israel in any way, shape, or form. The fact of the matter is that Morocco has always been kind of friendly with Israel anyway. They just do it on the sly. I mean, it's... the king of Morocco has no problems with Jews or with Israel. They've been more than friendly. But here's Donald Trump, interfering with things and getting things like screwed up for the sake of what? Himself?
Right.
He wants to have some kind of a legacy, I guess.
I don't know. It looks like, it's that old, he wants to burn the place down on his way out the door. And that's the only thing I can think of. He wants to protect himself.
He doesn't even know he's burning it down. He literally doesn't know anything about Western Morocco. Western Sahara or Morocco, or what the stakes were, what the issues were, what other people and other countries felt about it. He doesn't know. It's just an easy give for him.
Right.
Yes, the United States will give you Western Morocco. And, other countries are thinking, what the hell is he doing? There are very delicate negotiations that have been going on for decades trying to solve this thing. And here's Donald Trump. Dup, 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 dup.
Yeah. No, I agree. He probably doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He thinks he's the best president ever, and that the whole country is behind him. The delusion in this man makes me think that he's got syphilis or something eating away at his brain.
Well, there are people who say that.
I know. I know. I wasn't making a joke. There's something seriously wrong with this man. Speaking of that, I have to go here. I've got to ask you about this because I was intrigued when I read the story earlier this week that somebody, a former Israeli space security chief, is saying that we have made contact, that there are aliens out there. Now, I've never had any doubt that there was extraterrestrial life in this whole vast universe. To think we're the only living beings, I think, is almost like as narcissistic as Donald Trump. We can't be the only ones here. And so anyway, this guy, Eshed, Chaim Eshed, former head of Israel's Defense Ministry's Space Directorate, told Israel's newspaper there that aliens have made contact. They're curious about humanity. They're seeking to understand the fabric of the universe. That cooperation agreements had been signed between species, including, quote, an underground base in the depth of Mars, where there are American astronauts and alien representatives. Now, that part to me sounds a little fantastical. I'm not quite sure that's there. But he says we've made contact, that Donald Trump and the Israelis, the American government and the Israeli government, are the only ones who know about this. And it's by design that Donald Trump was ready to spill the beans, but he was convinced not to, so as not to cause mass chaos. And we know, look, with COVID, he didn't want to scare anybody, so he downplayed it, in his own words. So that's possible. Now, you have a piece up at downwithtyranny.com, Howie Klein, where you tell a story that you don't believe it, but you know it's true. What?
Well, it was three stories, actually.
Okay, well, so,
It starts with a video from The Rising.
Okay.
And Ryan Grimm was the guest, and they look at some pictures that the military has released of things that are supposed to be pieces of UFOs.
Okay.
Very convincing. And then the host, I can't remember his name.
Sagar and Jetty.
Yes, Sager, that's right. So he very much believes in this stuff, I gather. And Ryan Grimm says, you know what, if the military came out with three aliens and there was an interview and they spoke and I was in the room watching, I still wouldn't believe it. And that reminded me of my own experience. I mean, it's funny because when that Israeli story came out, I made fun of it. I literally did a tweet where I said, "Oh, maybe they saw Giuliani."
All right, good one. Yes.
You know, so yes, so I and this is, you know, a day or so before this, before the Sager Ryan Grimm thing.
Right. Okay.
So then I see that, and I'm thinking, you know what? I should, since I see it exactly the way Ryan does, I don't believe it. I just can't believe it, and yet I experienced it three times. And everyone says, wow, I've never heard of that. I've heard of people experiencing it once.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of anyone experiencing it three times over a course of a couple of decades. And it turned out they were pretty much the same. I don't know if it was the same alien or not, but they referred to the past experiences. In other words, the very last experience I had. But the first one was in Spain, the second one was in Holland, and the third one was in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And the third one said, look, dude, this is your last shot. If you want to come with us, you're welcome. No harm will come to you. It's going to be fine. You'll like it. Come. And if you don't want to come, we're not going to ask you again. Last shot. And stop being so scared. But I was too scared to make any kind of a rational consideration at all, and I passed completely on it. And I think if I would have made a rational consideration, I would have passed anyway. But because I kind of got the feeling that it was a one-way trip.
Uh huh. But the point
of my story, though, was not the stories themselves, although I think people will find them amusing and there will be people who think I'm out of my mind and completely crazy,
mm-hmm,
and delusional. I had long stopped using drugs, by the way, by the time this happened. Many, many, many years had gone by. But the point was is that I don't believe it myself. I, even though I experienced it, I don't believe it.
Wow.
That's a tough one.
Now, so can you describe this being who you spoke with?
It was all telepathic.
It was all
telepathic. If you read my story, you'll see the closest it came to actually seeing something was the one in Amsterdam. We were on a long stretch of lonely beach. My girlfriend and I were splitting up. She was going back to America. I was staying in Holland, and we decided to just go to someplace where there was no other people at all. And we were walking down the beach, and you know, it's sort of mostly quiet between us, but you know, we weren't going to ever see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
In all likelihood, and we never did. And suddenly there was a little speck of light, like a star, and it very, very rapidly came down towards us until it was as big as a barn hovering over us.
Uh-huh.
So that was what I saw. And then the discussion, think of a triangle of telepathy. So there was no actual sound of a voice, but the three of us were, or she and I and whatever in the barn were having a discussion about us coming to another planet.
Okay. Wow.
And then after they left, she and I had a discussion with our actual voices, since telepathy was no longer happening between her and I. We both had exactly 100% the exact same experience.
Wow. And you post a picture. I guess this is this a drawing she made, or it looks like
this,
a photograph.
No, this was just happened to be an art gallery sent me that picture at the same time.
Oh,
there
I see.
It was, and there's no connection except that it said
looks
something to me. I mean, it's a picture of a cloud.
Yes, and it looks like a spaceship. It looks like a flying saucer.
Spaceship. So you know what I'm saying with that, using that picture, is that, you know, this probably happens to lots and lots of people, that they see a cloud or they see something in the sky and they think it's a spaceship and they believe it. And here I am. I had an actual conversation with an alien and I don't believe it.
So you had one in Spain the first time. The second time was this one in Amsterdam. And then it happened the third time. In Holland.
The one I just described, that was in Holland.
In Holland.
Near Amsterdam. It was about an hour north of Amsterdam on the beach.
Having never been there, I don't know. I didn't know there were different things. I'm such an idiot. And then the third time was in San Francisco. That was the third and final try. Like, you can come with me now or this is it?
Yeah, that was it.
And
all these were relatively quick. There were no, you know, wasn't, they, none of them took an hour or anything. And, you know, the main thing that happened, if this happens to anybody who's listening, is that they immediately tell you, and very sincerely, I believe, there's no harm going to come to you. There's no coercion involved here. This is, you know, you're in control. Don't worry. No one's going to lay a hand on you. This is, you know, all voluntary. If you want to come, you can come. If you don't want to come, you don't have to come. But don't worry and don't be scared.
Okay.
Now, I was the scaredest I had ever been all three times. All three times. Well, actually, in the middle time, I was a little less scared because I was with her.
Right. And she saw it. She heard it, too. I guess she didn't see it, but she heard it, too. But you said you saw something come at you, like something out of the sky. You did see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is weird. And now you're saying you still can't fully believe it. All I think about is, I don't know if you're a Twilight Zone fan. I love the Twilight Zone. And one of the best episodes was they come and they make contact and people are excited. They're going to do this exchange, you know, alien-human exchange. And people are getting on the spaceship to go. And
weren't they going to eat them or something?
Well, they got a book. And they were trying to decode and translate the book. And just as they were getting on the spaceship to leave, they said, we got it. The book is called, they knew it was called To Serve Man. And then the last things are, it's a cookbook. It's a cookbook.
I saw that one. You know, there weren't that many episodes all in. And so I think all of us saw every one of them.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, I've definitely seen them all, without a doubt. But that's definitely one of the best. Yeah, that is definitely one of the best. Yeah. All right. So I don't know. Do you think if Donald Trump knew something, he could keep it quiet? No.
I don't think he could at all, especially if someone, like, you know, offered him $100 or something.
That's all it would take. Or I'll file an amicus brief in your name with the Supreme Court. Hey.
I heard there were 100 Republicans.
106.
I have to find that list.
106, just from the House alone. Those are just House members. 106 House Republicans.
That will come back to haunt these people. I'll try my best to make sure of that.
Right. And Ari Berman suggested they should not be seated because they're in favor of, you know, undoing the will of the people in an election. So, should be interesting. We've got an interesting 40 days ahead. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. Read the UFO story because there's even more to it than what we discussed here. Thank you so much, Howie. I'm late. Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye. And with that, we're done. And I ran long. I'm just out of it today. Maybe the aliens are here to get me. I don't know. All right. Well, tomorrow we'll wrap up the week with Harvey J.K., because he's a professor and a historian, and he knows his shit. So we'll talk to Harvey. We'll learn something tomorrow. All right. Take care. Have a good night. Stay safe. Go check out at NicoleSandler.com. Look for Vegan or Not and check out some of those recipes. All right. Okay. Have a good one, everyone. See you tomorrow.